There's some things I want to share in our class even this morning to help us really just kind of come back to some things that are foundational and fundamental that I think as we go through life, with the pace of life, with the busyness, with all the extracurriculars, if we're not careful, if we don't take time to assess where are we at, where are we going, what's happening, we can lose sight of these important things, sometimes subconsciously, not even knowing that they're no longer a part or fabric of our life and home. And so I want to take our attention and focus it on some of these basic things that are so vital and needful for our lives, marriages, and homes. And I want us to look at the book of Ezra. Ezra is the recording of a prayer that God gave to the prophet Ezra as he was going back to Israel after they had been in Babylonian bondage for 70 years. This was 1,000 years after they were in Egyptian bondage. So they've been in bondage again. And of course, there's an Old Testament pattern of living obediently and receiving God's blessing, and then living disobediently and receiving God's curse, and then going under bondage, and then being freed, and then coming back out. And there's this cylindric pattern that we see in the Old Testament. And so it occurs again. And God delivers his children from the bondage, this time from Babylon. And now they've returned to their homeland, and they begin to rebuild their homeland. They begin to rebuild the wall. They begin to rebuild the city. And Ezra goes back, and his heart, his purpose is to rebuild the house of God. And so Ezra has been there for 4 months. He has been surveying the land and just kind of getting a feel for where everything is at, where the people are at, and what is happening. And his heart is burdened because the people have been freed from bondage. They are in their homeland. They are rebuilding their homes. But Ezra sees sin in the camp, and he is troubled by the direction that the people are going. And so out of that heart, he begins to pray and to ask God for an intervention. I believe as you study this, and we'll study it this week and next together, that we are living in a time in America that God-fearing, God Bible-believing people would say, we need the intervention of God. You look at our society, you look at our culture, you look at the direction that many people are going, and the only answer is, God, change their heart. I don't know how we got here. It's hard to fathom why we're going there. It's hard to understand why people who are advocating for such wickedness are so applauded. And people who stand for right and morality and truth are so despised. And I know the Bible foretells it, that good will be called evil and evil will be called good. But when you're living it, it at times is quite shocking. And I think to the discerning Bible-believing Christian, there's an understanding that we need the intervention of God. But it's deeper than just what's happening in culture and society in our country. It's in our homes as well. It's in our marriages, it's in our personal lives that we need the Lord to do His work. And God delights in working. God delights in working when the odds are stacked against Him. God loves to show Himself true and mighty and powerful and able when it doesn't look like it can be done. That's really when God is at His best. And Ezra was calling for that kind of God to show up. And I think we need God to show up in that way even today. So look at a portion of this prayer. In Ezra chapter 9 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage." And by the way, God has promised He will never leave us nor forsake us, and we're thankful for that. "But hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem." And God is working here through a faithful remnant of people. Now, a remnant is not just who's left. A remnant is who God is choosing to work through. And Ezra is thanking God for the fact that he is working through this remnant and that God is rebuilding his house, their city, the wall, and the land that God had given to them. And I submit to you this morning that God is looking for a remnant that he can work through today in 2019. Who can God work through? Who desires for God to work through them for him to do his work even in this hour? And I believe many of us in this room share a desire to see God do a mighty work, to see revival brought to our land, his mercy extended to our generation, and a space of grace that we might tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning, I want us to kind of see this through the eyes of Ezra. And as Ezra was surveying the land and seeing the needs, in his prayer, he really draws the attention to where the people must focus for the Lord to do his work. And I believe as you and I look at our lives, our homes, our marriages, and we think about the need of the Lord to work today, there are some areas in which we need to focus this morning as well. And I want to look at three essential areas such as that this morning. Number one, if we're going to see the Lord work as we get back to the basics, we must return to worship. Return to worship. Now, Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now in the first year of King Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also into writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth and hath charged me to build him a house which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people?" So here Ezra comes back. The people have been freed from Babylonian bondage. He's surveying the land. And now the task that God has given him is to rebuild the temple of God. And Ezra is thanking God for the moving upon the heart of the king to free the people. Ezra is thanking God for the strength and for the spirit he's brought to the people to rebuild. And then Ezra is asking the people, among all of you, who are his people? And I want to submit to you this morning that if we are going to live the kind of life that God is working through, we first of all have to come to grips with, who are we? Are we God's people? And that's what Ezra was asking these people. As I look among all of you, whose people are you? Is it settled in your heart that you are God's? Is it something, is it a reality that you live with on a daily basis that I am God's? I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. Therefore, I want to glorify God in my spirit and in my body, which are his. Is that the reality in which you live? Ezra, as he is surveying the land, as he sees the need, he says, listen, if we're going to accomplish what needs to be accomplished, we must return to worship. We must recognize that we are God's. We have to live in the reality that we are not our own. And of course, they went to the place of the altar and they began to rebuild the house of the Lord. And so, what must we do to return to this idea of worship? I would say, letter A, that we must return to the Lord. The Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse 23, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." In class, there is a great need that we, as individuals, marriages, families, and as a class, that we would come back to, that we would return to worshiping the Lord. We're so thankful for God's goodness. We're thankful for God's mercy. We're thankful for God's provision. But it's important that you and I are returning to Him in worship. Worship brings you and I into the presence of God. So let me ask you a question this morning. How much time last week did you spend with God? And when there was dialogue with God, was it just for what you need? Because sometimes that's what happens, is we get busy and we get a lot going, and then when we go to God, we have our list like we would going to the store, and we make known our petitions, and then we wait for Him to provide, and we keep going. And it's not about seeking Him. It's really about seeking what we can get from Him. And as Ezra was looking at the people, he was saying, listen, I know you're excited to be home. I know you want God's help in rebuilding your house, but don't forget just to spend time with God. And I think when we think about our lives in 2019 and all that we can get going, I think if Ezra were here, he would say, be careful. Don't omit just spending time with God. Friend, take time with the Lord. Return to the Lord. Worship Him. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful and bless His name. Everything begins with God. And I want to challenge all of us this morning to make God your number one goal and keep Him there. Whatever it was these past 6 days or these past 3 months in 2019 that you have been passionately pursuing, if number one is not God, can I challenge you this morning, realign your priorities. Make God your goal and pursue Him at all cost, and let everything else go where it may, because it doesn't compare to God. Keep Him in His rightful place. Return to the Lord. And this week, just make a conscious decision. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to pursue the Lord. I don't want to go to Him with just a list of things that I need, but I just want to spend time with Him and praise Him and worship Him and return to being with Him. But I believe it will also include, letter B, a return to His Word. The Bible says, neither have gone back from the commandments of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Class, can I challenge us this morning that we've got to get in the Word of God and we've got to get the Word of God in us. Every one of us are being faced with decisions every single day that are beyond our pay grade. We don't have the wisdom and in our own strength to make those decisions accurately. But we can as we spend time in the Word of God. As we are exposed to the wisdom of God in His Word, as it gets into our lives, and then as we use it, as we live our lives to make decisions, to provide guidance to our children, to give a word of encouragement to a coworker, to be there for a neighbor, whatever the case may be, we must spend time in the Word of God. Friend, how can we be doing so well if the only time we open the Word of God is when we're here at church? That's not the relationship that God desires for you and I to have. Church is awesome. Jesus died for it. He wants us to assemble and to worship together. But oh, how the Lord looks forward to that daily time that we open His Word and just you and just Him begin to communicate as you read His letter to you. Spending time in the Word of God. And you say, Brother Rowe, we're talking about prayer and Bible reading. I know. Basic things that we have to make sure that are part of the fabric of our lives if we're going to live the victorious life that God desires for you and I to live. And so spending time with the Lord and returning to His Word. And then let us see, returning to our true identity. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave you the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. When people think about you, what do they think about? What is your identity? And I challenge all of us this morning, there's no greater identity than being a child of God. So don't be ashamed of it. Don't hide it. Don't be a covert Christian that comes out of hiding Sunday mornings at 10 and grabs a donut and sits in class and then goes back underground until next week. Don't do that. Find your identity in Jesus Christ, being not ashamed of Him or what He has done for you. Ezra looks at the people and sees the need of the land and says, you got to return to worship. Get back to loving God. Get back to pursuing God. Get back to spending time with Him. Get back in the Word of God and let the Word of God get in you and get back to the identity of your life. First and foremost is that you are a child of God, that you are His and it is known. But then secondly, we see a challenge in the book of Ezra to restore evangelism and discipleship. Look at chapter 1 and verse 5, if you would. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. And Ezra had come there for this purpose. He's calling the attention of the people to this need. And now the rally cry is, let's go rebuild the house of God. Can I make a quick note? Notice who's called out first. Then rose up the chief of the fathers. And I would challenge that fathers must lead their families. I know we live in a society and a culture that is not promoted. I know we live in a society and a culture where that is many times mocked. But it's still God's way. And I challenge every man in this room to determine in your heart to lead. And I'm not talking about a dictatorship of bless God and everybody's going to do something for me. No, I'm just talking about a Christ-like leadership. I'm talking about a servitude to your spouse and an example to your family. But I'm talking about in 2019 and in America, we have a desperate need for men who walk with God and lead their family spiritually. That it's not up for debate whether or not we're going to go to church. It's not, well, I don't know if we're going to spend time around God's Word as a family. Well, I don't know if we're going to tell others about God. Well, I don't know if we're going to do that. And while the questions are being asked, dad's in the back and nothing to say. And I'm telling you, if we're going to see revival come to this land, if we're going to see a shift of the tide, if we're going to see something great, and I believe that God can do it, but there's got to be some men in this room that something burns in their heart that says, Lord, help me to lead spiritually. Help me to have a passion for the things of God. And when it comes to the things of God, and when it comes to the Word of God, and when it comes to telling people about Jesus, there may be people more educated, there may be people more experienced, there may be people with more success or victory in the area, but nobody's going to have more passion for it than I am. Because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And your spouse and your children need to see you excited about the things of God. Fathers indeed must lead, but as we think about this idea of getting back to evangelism and discipleship, as we see the house of the Lord being built here, I want to remind us, first of all, letter A, that evangelism is the heart of God. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I believe as you and I return to worship, as we talked about already, and spending time with the Lord, and His heart then begins to affect our heart, and now we have a desire to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to challenge our class this morning to consider the awesome opportunity we have to tell people about Jesus. I believe it's the responsibility of every believer to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we might be embarrassed if the Lord could somehow provide the data. Brother Jesse could help us put it into a presentation. And we could consider January, February, and March of 2019. There's a lot of people in this room. How many invited someone to church? How many asked someone else the question, do you know for sure where you're going to spend an eternity? How many in this room took a copy of God's Word and said, could I tell you from the Bible how you can know you're going to heaven? The Bible tells us that God loves you, and go right into teaching them about Jesus Christ. I don't know, and this is not a guilt trip, but it's to make you think, and it's to make me think. Friend, if we're not doing that, why? Why? Jesus came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. This was the reason Jesus came. This was the reason he lived his life. He had no place to lay his head. He did not know where his next meal would come from, and he didn't care. But everywhere he went loving people and telling them how they can know that heaven would be their home. Would it not be that if you and I are passionate about Jesus, that everywhere we go, we too have a passion to tell people about Jesus? Does it not trouble you that we can gather together in love of Jesus and in passionate worship of Jesus, but that we can live our lives having totally forgotten to tell anybody about him? Does it ever sadden your heart that you do not know where your coworkers will spend an eternity? Does it bother you that you may have neighbors that are on their way to hell? Is there something in you that says, God, help me to be the answer to that? I want to take them the gospel. I want to tell them about Jesus. I want to be involved in seeing someone come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Every follower of Christ has this responsibility to make Christ known. And the Bible says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power, and after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. You say, Gabe, I want that, but I am scared to death of it. Hey, God will help you. His Spirit will help you. And it may in the beginning just be, hey, could you come to church? Something happened to me there, and I don't even know how to explain it, but I want it to happen to you too. And God will give you the power to do it. I love the promise of Psalms 126 and verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weepeth and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And can I remind us this morning that the gospel has never lost its power? The Bible says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Well, I don't know about that neighbor. Well, I don't know about that coworker. I don't know about that person. I don't think they'll ever come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, do you know the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? It has the power to change lives. Amen. Roy, I remember when you got saved and God began to change your life. And you said, Gabe, pray with me that I could have a witness at work. And I remember Roy calling me during the week and saying, I can't believe it, but I talked to Angelo at work today at our station and I invited him and I think he's going to come. And church starts at 8:30. I think Roy got here at 5 o'clock that morning. I mean, he wanted to greet Angelo. He wanted to make sure he knew where to go, you know. And sure enough, that Sunday morning in January, here came Angelo. Man, Angelo came to church, and Maria and Roy was showing him around and where to go. And they began to hear the gospel. And Angelo got saved, and Maria got saved. And then Angelo said, now, Gabe, I want you to talk to my mom, Lupe. And I want you to tell her about Jesus. I said, I'd love to. And so he set the time. Well, I go to Angelo's house. This is Roy's friend and coworker. I knock on the door. A lady answered the door whom I had never met. I said, hello, my name is Gabe, and I'm here to meet Angelo and his mom, Lupe. And she said, oh, I'm Lupe. I said, okay. So I come in. I said, is Angelo here? She said, no, he's not here. I said, oh, okay. And so we sat down, and she said, now he said you have something to tell me about. And so Angelo kind of set this appointment up for he and his mom, and then he didn't even show up, you know. So I'm sitting there talking to Lupe, and we're talking about the things of the Lord, and I forget who was with me that night. And anyway, we got to the gospel, and we shared it, and Lupe said, I want to do that. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and she got saved. Not long after, Matthew got saved, her other son, and we began to pray for Randy and Roy and Angelo, and the whole family said, man, I don't know about Randy. I don't know that Randy will ever get saved, and Randy's doesn't believe in these things, and there's some things in his past that have been a challenge, and he's not really a churchgoer. They were teasing about coming to Easter, and he said, well, I'll come, but I'm just going to sit in the car, and I'll wait for you all, and so on. But I'll never forget the day in my office, Randy, when you came. You and I sat down, and you began to share from your heart some of the things that had gone on in your life. And I had the great privilege to tell you that it didn't matter, and that God loved you, that his son Jesus Christ died for you. And that day, if I'm not mistaken, in the summer, we were sitting in my office and you bowed your head and you prayed and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'll never forget that. And all of that started because one man said, more than anything else, I want people to know about Jesus. And a coworker came, and a family was changed, and generations were changed. And only heaven will tell the total impact of that change. What is that, Gabe? That's the power of the gospel. Amen. That's what happens when you tell people about Jesus. Lives get changed. Things happen. And it's incredible. Class, 14 days from today, we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the Super Bowl for the Christian. Ladies, that means it's a big deal, all right? It's what sets us apart from any other religion. We are celebrating the fact that we serve a risen Savior. It's incredible. Can I challenge us this morning? Let's get back to some basic things. Can I challenge you the next 6 days? Worship God. Get up early. Find a quiet place. And just get with the Lord. Get His word out and get it in you. Get a pen and paper and a pencil or a phone or a tablet or whatever. And write some things down as you pray. Just spend time with Him and worship Him and praise Him. And find your identity in your relationship with the living Son of God. And then as you spend time drawing close to the heart of God, may He affect your heart. And may this week you not be content to pass another person without saying, hey, got a church home? I want to invite you. We got Easter in 2 weeks and it's going to be amazing. I'd love for you to come. Everybody in here can do that. Everybody in here should do that, starting right here with this preacher. Let's get back to some basic things. The Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. And may you and I determine in our life the most important thing we can do outside of walking with God is tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we determine this week we are going to tell others about the difference that Jesus Christ can make, because the power of the gospel is still changing lives. Now, I know we didn't finish the lesson, and I'll finish it next Sunday. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we get back to what's important. And as I pray, would you pray right now, Lord, help me this week to focus back on what truly matters. Heavenly Father, we love You, and we thank You for Your word. And I pray that You would help us this morning as our His Design class to consider what matters, what is important, what is going to last. And Lord, may we take this admonition from Ezra to return back to the Lord. May fathers lead spiritually. And may this room be filled with husbands and wives and moms and dads that this week are spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we draw closer to You, may our heart be changed. And may we see, wow, their priority was to build the house of God. Our priority is to build the kingdom of God as well. And that happens one person at a time. May we this week, with great passion and intentionality, share the love of Christ, the gospel, the good news, and invitation to an Easter service. Would You use our class this week as my prayer to literally touch eternity? And we'll praise and thank You for every opportunity You afford. In Jesus' name.